Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor.
This is Dr. Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. I'm a family physician here in Chico, and my goal with this show is to discuss various health issues, hopefully that are important to you as an individual and to the community at large. And this show is the third Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. The opinions voiced on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Speaking of underwriters, the Doctor's Inn is made possible by you, the listener, with your generous contributions to KZFR, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events, including Artoberfest, Chico Paleo, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org and by the 21st Annual Orville Salmon Festival on Saturday, September 26th, in historic downtown Orville. There's free tours at the fish hatchery, kayak rides on the river, a grilling contest, a downtown crafts fair, and more. Salmon Court will feature food booths, salmon dinners, cooking demonstrations, a beer and wine garden, and free entertainment, including Jesse Naomi, the Miami Road Roosters, Kizira, the Delbert Bump Organ Trio, I love the sound of that one, and Inside Straight. There's also free parking and shuttle buses. Full details at full details at salmonfestorville.org. Well, for today's show, we have a guest, and her name is Dr. Elizabeth Zemecki, Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine here in Chico. Dr. Zemecki, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And the reason that I wanted Dr. Zemecki here on the show today was to, she's relatively new in Chico, so I want you, the listeners, to hear about who she is and what a doctor of naturopathic medicine is, and then we want to hear more about her passions and what she does. And then, just to let you know, a fair amount of the show, then we're going to meld into health advice, general health advice, health maintenance advice. And so we're going to look to her for that opinion, her opinions on that, what advice she has for us. And I might put in my two cents too, knowing me. Dr. Zemecki, hello.
Hello.
Tell us about yourself.
All right. Thank you once again for welcoming me here. I really appreciate it. I am new to Chico. I arrived here in late February. So I've been seeing patients since March, which has been a real pleasure. It's an amazing community here. So I'm grateful to be here in Chico at large and here this evening talking with you. So originally I am a California native. I'm from San Francisco, Bay Area. That's where I grew up and then spent some years in the Monterey Peninsula. And I have spent a number of years elsewhere doing my schooling and training, both in Seattle, Washington, as well as Montreal, Quebec in Canada prior to that. So it's been...
Do you speak French?
Some. Okay. Not as much as I used to. I'm okay. Pretty rusty these days, but yes, it was part of my time there, certainly. So I've really been enjoying returning to California after being away from the state for so many years. But Chico is new for me, as I mentioned before. So in terms of kind of my background in educationally speaking, I did my undergraduate studies at McGill University in Montreal in Quebec. And so there at that time I was doing, I completed a BA, Bachelor of Arts in Italian and Humanistic Studies. The Humanistic Studies is essentially a liberal arts degree. So I have a double major in each of those subjects. And while I started doing my pre-med science prerequisites at that time, but I really was kind of doing a survey of liberal arts. So a lot of cultural studies with a focus on several different languages, as well as anthropology, psychology, environmental sciences, some religious studies. So kind of a smattering of different things that really fit my passions, if you will. And I ended up basically completing my prerequisites for my basic sciences for med school after I had graduated, simply because, yeah, I have a lot of different interests, I suppose.
I, you know, just hearing you say that makes me think that those focus, you know, the focus you had there in the humanities, those subjects you mentioned, were probably a good background for becoming a doctor of human beings.
And this is one of the things that I say sometimes. I'm really have been, some of my biggest passions in life are people. And
you want to be a doctor. you are a doctor. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, people. And I'm fascinated by people and their behaviors and their cultures and the similarities and differences between them and how all the different things that impact our lives affect our health. Mm-hmm. So everything from our communities to our, on a kind of larger scale, to our family units, to what we're exposed to in the environment and how that is affecting our health, to mental, emotional health, all kinds of things. So it did really form a great background for me. And my first passion in the healthcare field was acupuncture and Chinese medicine. And so I thought I was going to be going that route after I finished my undergraduate program. Mm-hmm. But then when I discovered naturopathic medicine, thanks to my father, he is a great researcher. So he kind of let me know about that field. And then I realized that it was really a conglomeration of so many of my different interests. So that's kind of how I ended up going in that direction instead. Mm-hmm. So I completed my medical program at Bastyr University in Seattle, followed by a residency and a private practice, both in a town just north of Seattle, as well as two other locations in the Puget Sound. There were multiple practice locations, which made things entertaining, of course, and very busy in terms of commuting. And so it was a general practice that I was trained in that setting, as well as there was an emphasis on treating patients with Lyme disease and other infections. So I do have some background in that. Yeah, that's basically my kind of educational history, so to speak.
Gotcha. And the medical school for a doctor of naturopathic medicine is 4 years.
Yes, is at a correct? Minimum. Many of us take a little longer to do it because we're basically doing a standard medical education in the sense of we cover basic sciences, we go through all the different systems, the ologies, as some people call them, the
systems
of the body. So going through cardiology and gastroenterology and all of these things. So that training is the same. And we, I guess where our training really differs is in our principles.
Differs from medical doctors?
Differs from medical doctors. Uh-huh. Thank you for the distinction. Yes. As well as from osteopathic doctors. Uh-huh. We spend a great deal of time working with kind of different principles and approaches to the way we think about health and medicine. And those really influence our therapeutics that we use primarily. Though there, you know, there is some crossover mm-hmm. with other medical fields mm-hmm. In terms mm-hmm. of how we treat conditions and diseases.
Mm-hmm. And then your residency, how long was that?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And that was in general medical
practice.
Stuff. Uh-huh, general
yes.
practice. Okay.
I did a 6-month residency.
Okay.
So at this time, naturopathic doctors are not required to do residencies as part of their training.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact reason that is, but I have a few theories as to why. One is that there are simply not enough residency positions for mm-hmm. all of the graduating mm-hmm. Students. There are a number of... Well, our field is really growing, and mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a changing factor. In fact, there was a goal that was put out at, I think, our annual conference for our National Association of Naturopathic Doctors, and that their statement of intent, I believe, was to have residencies for all graduating students in the next several years. I can't remember exactly mm-hmm. how many it was. So that's a push that's being made currently to mm-hmm. provide that extra training.
Mm-hmm.
My other thought on why that hasn't been mandatory thus far is because in general, we are using a lot of therapeutics that are more gentle, that don't mm-hmm. have as many side effects. We're not performing surgeries, so there's mm-hmm. not as high of a risk in terms of, you know, the potential harm that we could do to patients.
Yeah,
so I
gotcha.
Think that's also a factor in why that's been, you know, an acceptable standard.
Just
up
go
to
ahead
this point.
And leave the complications and side effect things to us medical doctors.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We'll do those.
Yeah, we'll just refer over to you. Exactly.
Let's see. So, school, then 6 months residency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good.
And I spent 6 years doing my schooling.
Okay.
A lot of us spend 5 years. There's a handful that do 4 years and a handful of us that do six. But mm-hmm. yeah, I couldn't get enough of those extra elective training courses.
Well, great. And then you and I were talking a little bit before the program about licensure in the state of
yes.
California relative to doctors of naturopathic medicine. Tell us a little bit about that. How long have doctors of naturopathic medicine been licensed in California?
That's a good question, and I'm not remembering off the top of my head the exact year, but I want to say it was between 2003 and 2005.
So fairly recently,
yes.
really.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, now compare that, if you don't mind, with the state of Oregon and Washington-ish.
Ooh,
I mean...
Good question.
I don't need specific years, but...
Okay. At least... Good question. I want to say at least a couple decades, possibly longer.
So okay, up there,
yes, uh-huh. in Oregon and Washington. The situation with naturopathic medicine mm-hmm. is that actually naturopathic doctors... were in existence how we practice mm-hmm. has a long history.
Okay.
And naturopathic doctors were somewhat close to their current kind of existence, if you will,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And then with kind of changes with the pharmaceutical industry and the American Medical Association, the field kind of died out
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a handful of practicing NDs, as we call them, instead of MDs, between the early 1900s and into, the latter half of the 19th century. And it was around that time that there started to be kind of a resurgence where the field was almost dead completely, but mm. there were a few people who had a growing interest. And so kind of in our current incarnation, we are a newer field, but we do have this long history.
Okay.
And so I, to be honest, don't recall all the legalities of when we were licensed and when we weren't. And
it's kind of a resurgence in the in the profession.
Yes, indeed.
Gotcha. All right. Great. Tell us more.
So, in terms of what a naturopathic doctor is, I often say to people, in a nutshell, that it's a doctor of natural medicine. But that doesn't tell you necessarily a whole lot. So, you know, we kind of look at it as combining the best of modern science with the best of traditional and natural medicine. And when I say traditional and natural medicine, a lot of it is what we have learned over centuries. And so a lot of traditions that have been handed down, some of which, you know, have been handed down through kind of folk traditions, really around the world. I mean, our practice is really based on kind of a Western European tradition, but we do draw on knowledge from a lot of different other cultures. Now, we also follow a number of different principles, and you know, every profession has this, and we certainly see it clearly in the healthcare field, but you'd see it in pretty much any kind of organized profession. And so the ones that we follow, I'll just go through them. Mm-hmm. The first one is first do no harm, and that is pretty much universal to all healthcare providers. Then we have, and this might not be in the correct order, the idea of the doctor being a teacher. Mm-hmm. And really being an educator of their patients and of the community at large. Mm-hmm. The next is the concept of prevention. So really placing an emphasis on preventing disease, not only treating it. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see here, we have, and actually I'm going to talk a little more about prevention for a moment. So some of these principles, as you'll notice as I'm going through them, are universal to all healthcare mm-hmm. providers. Some of them are a little more unique and to what we do, and then some are we interpret them a little differently. So prevention is something that's found in healthcare as a whole. Mm-hmm. I think what's a little bit different about how we approach things is, yes, we do believe that screening tools in terms of laboratory diagnostics and some forms of imaging are useful in screening for early detection of disease. But we also look to, well, how do we prevent disease from happening in the first place? You know, early detection isn't enough in our book. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, that's important. But
it's really not prevention, is it? Early detection, it's already there.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So so we try and take that prevention to the, mm-hmm. really the next step with actually stopping disease before it starts. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of focus on creating optimal health and what we call foundations of health throughout people's lifetime to prevent disease before it begins. So then moving on to some of the other principles, another focus is on treating the whole person. So that's all aspects of an individual. So it's their mental health, their emotional health, as well as their physical health. To some extent, we can even, depending on the provider, get into spiritual and energetic levels of health. But, you know, those are all really important and they all play a role. And we're, you know, research is catching up with that more and more in terms of understanding those other components of health and how they affect us, really.
Yeah, that's interesting to say. It's research catching up. I was just listening to or hearing a little bit on KCHO radio about mindfulness, you know, the idea mm-hmm. of mindfulness. And I thought, well, there's an interesting term, but, you know, the mind and the mindfulness of as it relates to our health mm-hmm. is something that you naturopathic doctors of naturopathic medicine, like you said, it's part of what you do and always has been.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't new, and I think
no.
and I think in what we medical doctors, some of us do, it's always been a part. But it's great to hear that as one of the principles, one of the things that is inherent in your profession. Great.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mindfulness. Yeah. Definitely mm-hmm. a new kind of a growing phenomenon in terms of public awareness around that.
Yeah. Public awareness, which is a good
great.
Thing.
Yeah.
Pay attention to it. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things that's been interesting about our field is that we, you know, there's these certain kind of these principles really guide how we practice. Mm-hmm. And there's certain things like this awareness of mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic health, mm-hmm. That we've kind of worked into our approach over, you know, over the course of the development of our, of the field. And mm-hmm. yet, on some level, there's just been this sense of knowing that this is true, and we haven't had, for example, research to back it up, but we see clinically how mm-hmm. it makes sense and how there's...
in everyday life, when you treat your patients,
sure.
when you're dealing with your patients, uh-huh.
Sure. So it's a really interesting time. I feel very fortunate to be in the field at this time, to be able to see... you know, research that's backing these things mm-hmm. up, and I know that I have a much easier time talking about this with people than mm-hmm. Some of my predecessors do, because of that, mm-hmm. and people like to see evidence, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, just a side note.
Right.
The last two principles are probably the ones that are the most unique to our field, also, in the sense of. I'll just say them. So one is to seek and treat the cause. And I know this is also the goal in healthcare as a whole. But I think here, this is an area where we also really excel in terms of looking for underlying factors that could be contributing. We do treat symptoms. We really try and avoid to only treat symptoms. We're wanting to know why. Why is that there? The symptom is a messenger to us. And so... trying to follow the picture to figure it out. And we do end up seeing a lot of people that other healthcare providers haven't been able to find solutions for. So we do a lot of detective work.
Oh, yeah.
And I know mm-hmm. that's, like I said, it's not completely unique to our field. I know that that's very true in the rest of medicine as well. There's always the looking at the whole and trying to figure out the... what the conglomeration of symptoms shows.
I will tell you, though, as a general rule mm-hmm. in medical doctors and DOs, I think, mm-hmm. we're more likely to treat the symptoms and not look for the underlying, you know, the big picture, the whole mm-hmm. Body and mind when mm-hmm. we're dealing with medical conditions. We're really gonna bam, 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 hit with helping the symptoms and not really the underlying condition or mm-hmm. reason it's there, yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't develop that part of the picture very well. So it's good to hear that your profession does.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's changing. I do. In terms of the MDs and the DOs that I encounter and just what I've learned in terms of how healthcare is changing, I think there's more of an openness and an emphasis on discovering that.
Boy, I hope so. You know, I don't mean to get off on a little take away from what you were saying there, but one thing just pops into my head in looking at the bigger picture and mm-hmm. looking for underlying, be it psychiatric or psychological, emotional, mm-hmm. and other medical pieces to a person's bigger picture when we're looking at the individual. Mm-hmm. It takes time and it takes an effort and it takes a desire to look. And that's what I see as part of the problem with the medical doctors and DOs is that we don't take time. Mm-hmm. We try to zip from room to room, and that's mainly for money reasons, mm-hmm. for income reasons.
Sure.
But I'm glad to hear another way. Another approach.
yes, indeed. Well,
okay.
It's, yeah.
Tell us more.
We're doing the best we can. I guess the other thing I wanted to mention around this is that we do a lot of looking at, you know, as I mentioned before, a lot of people come to us and they haven't been able to get solutions elsewhere. That's not mm-hmm. always the case. But... when that happens, sometimes we don't find, as I refer to it, frank pathology. So we mm-hmm. don't find, you know, the reason they haven't obtained solutions sometimes from their MD or their DO or whomever they're seeing is, you know, there's not maybe tissue changes to the point that we can pick them up, if we're looking at something on that level in terms of cellular change that we're able to easily test for. Mm-hmm. Or maybe their lab values aren't out of range. So even though they're feeling lousy, their doctor tells them, oh, you're fine, you're healthy, and all this looks good.
You're fine, you're healthy, your lab tests are great.
Your lab tests are great. So you feel a little lousy, just, mm-hmm. Exercise more, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes there's dysfunction of different organ systems, and we do a lot of work treating that. So trying to optimize function, or, maybe somebody's not completely out of range, but they're starting to trend in one direction or another with, whether it's their blood sugar or becoming a problem, or they're starting to head towards anemia. They're not there yet, but they're moving in that direction. We're seeing nutrient deficiencies, even though their red blood cells haven't changed, for example. And mm-hmm. I apologize. Mm-hmm. I apologize if I'm getting too technical. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of kind of treating to optimize health, mm-hmm. and that does affect change in how people feel. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that's what we're looking at, mm-hmm. in terms of cause, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mm-hmm. there isn't an underlying issue that just hasn't been diagnosed that would be with a frank pathology, so to
not
speak.
A specific disease that you can hang a name on. It's trending and more subtle findings that you see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and as far as I understand it, kind of in the conventional medical model, it doesn't really account for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. It's just a different approach, really. There's nothing. I'm very grateful for the MDs and the DOs out there in the community and at large, because they do a lot of excellent work, but they have a different perspective. So we're mm-hmm. we're kind of doing different types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, how come then my MD said that I was fine? And I said, well, they're looking from a different angle. The training is different. It's just a different way of looking at things. So
yeah, and I'm sure we may talk more about this mm-hmm. idea later, but it's always made sense to me to work in conjunction with other doctors.
I agree.
We medical doctors in primary care, like I am, a family physician, we we work with other doctors with our patient relative to our patient's
sure.
care and other types of paramedical people.
Mm-hmm.
So why in the world can't medical doctors and DOs work with doctors of naturopathic medicine
Good
on the
question.
Same patients?
Yeah.
I think we should.
Yeah, I really like to. And I'll touch on that more mm-hmm. in a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
The last principle that I wanted to just mention, and this is really the one that is more unique to us,
mm-hmm.
Is this idea of the healing power of nature. You can mm-hmm. also find this in some of the other kind of holistic health fields, if you will. But this is really this sense that, or this concept that mm-hmm. we all have this innate self-healing capability as living organisms. And you find it not just in humans, but in plants, in animals. I mean, just by virtue of being alive, our body has, they're very complex. We don't entirely understand them by any means at this point. And yet, what we do see time and time again is the body will heal itself if given the right opportunity and the right setting.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of an emphasis in supporting that function of the body. So, we kind of look at it in different ways, but, a lot of times this kind of goes back to optimizing function, right? Creating the right setting in the body for optimal health,
mm-hmm.
really. So
for
that
the body to do its own healing.
Do its own healing,
carry
exactly.
on appropriately.
If we
yeah.
provide the right nutrients, sufficient mm-hmm. sleep, all these other kind of important factors for general health maintenance, and sometimes we're supporting the immune function. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a lot of that self-healing mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a lot of kind of dysregulation, so to speak, of the immune system amongst other organ systems. Mm-hmm. Hormones is another huge one. Mm-hmm. So helping, a lot of what we're doing is trying to support those systems so the body can do its work itself.
Mm-hmm. Great. Sounds great.
Yeah, I think so.
Tell us more.
So in terms of what I'm licensed to do...
I tell you what.
Oh, sure.
Let's do this. Let's take a little music break.
I love music.
And then we'll kick in gear again.
Sounds great.
Here we go. You're listening to FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Dr. Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. Towards the end of this hour, we'll be speaking with Dr. Mark Lundberg from Butte County Public Health Department, so stay tuned for that. However, right now, we're talking with Dr. Elizabeth Zemecki, ND, or Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine. And we've heard about her training and some of the missions or goals of the profession that she's in. And she's going to tell us more about the world of naturopathic physicians, or doctors of naturopathic medicine, excuse me. Tell
course.
Us more.
Oh, certainly. In terms of what we're licensed to do in this state, it does vary state to state, by the way. And so we are licensed to diagnose and treat patients. So that includes, we do kind of a general or a lot of similarities between us and the conventional medical world in terms of that process. So, taking thorough histories, that can be a little more thorough. We often do spend a lot of time getting a really kind of complete picture of what's been going on with folks. Physical exams, we use laboratory and imaging diagnostics as needed. We are also able to prescribe a limited amount of pharmaceutical medications in this state. We are also, this is actually unique to California, we're required to have supervision by an MD or a DO in order to prescribe pharmaceuticals in the state. I think the exception is thyroid hormones, and there may be one other thing that we can do completely solo. But otherwise, we're required to have kind of a professional supervision. That's not true in other states such as Oregon and Washington. There, you have pretty full scope of prescription rights, I think with the exception of some controlled substances. Moving on, let's see here. We can collect specimens for microbiology, so nasal swabs, things along those lines. Where we kind of differ in terms of diagnostics is functional lab testing. It's something that you may see with a functional medicine doctor who's an MD or a DO, or perhaps an acupuncturist or a chiropractor. These are tests that are run by these kinds of practitioners as well as ourselves. So they're laboratory tests, but they're usually run through independent lab companies. And these are kind of a situation where we're looking for that kind of dysfunction that I mentioned earlier. They tend to look for things kind of in that realm a little bit more. And also there are certain circumstances where, you know, looking at hormones in the urine tends to be a little more accurate than in the blood, for example. It gives us more information to use, clinically speaking, than standard blood tests of hormones. That's been my experience. So, looking at some different lab testing than would be done conventionally, in addition to the standard diagnostic procedures. We can refer to specialists, so other doctors and physicians, other holistic practitioners. I really enjoy, as we were kind of touching on earlier, I really enjoy doing that, and I value that greatly. I mean, it's huge. You need those other providers and their areas of expertise to really get accurate information in a lot of different scenarios. And also treatment. And I love referring, in addition to specialists in the kind of conventional medical model, I also love referring to massage therapists, chiropractors, acupuncturists, amongst others. I mean, there's a lot of value that I see in patients seeing those providers, mm-hmm. in terms of their overall health and improving that, and even treating certain specific conditions or symptoms.
And speaking of referrals to other doctors, mm-hmm. Let's say, for instance, you had a patient that needed that had some heart problems. Let's say you were not comfortable with dealing with them, as mm-hmm. as I might not be in my practice comfortable with dealing with them. Would you refer to a cardiologist, for instance? Is that within the realm of what you do?
Definitely, yes.
There you go.
And I do that.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So just like I, as a family physician, refer patients to specialists such as cardiologists, neurologists, or whatever specialty I'm in need of, I and the patient are in need of, you do the same in your practice. Is that
I certainly
correct?
Do, all the time.
There you go.
Yes. So really, and what this means, and kind of is that, you know, we can serve as family doctors and as primary mm-hmm. doctors for patients. And we do that frequently. And we also have patients who come to us for extra support, and they have, you know, their GP that they see elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that works great too.
Yeah.
I really enjoy working as a part of a team, really, on people's healthcare.
Great. And I just get a flash in my brain when you say you are able, therefore, to be a patient's or a family's primary care doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And having said that, I know very well that there's a deficiency in number of primary care doctors in this town,
mm-hmm.
and in this state and in this country, really.
Mm-hmm.
But we really need more primary care or family docs, general docs. And you've recently come to Chico as of February of this year, and so you are a primary care doctor, essentially, and that is good to hear.
Yes.
And your phone number, by the way, is You know, I know we might say this again in the later on in the show, but what is your phone number? Your office phone number?
Yes. My office phone number is 530-332-9355.
And your name is Dr. Zemecki.
Yes. And I am... Yes. And that number is for the office that I practice at, Chico Naturopathic Medicine.
Chico Naturopathic Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You and Dr. Barlow.
Yes.
So it's Dr. Barlow and Dr. Zemecki, Chico Naturopathic Medicine.
That is correct.
Same area code 530-332-9355. Okay. With that little interlude, go ahead, please, with what you were saying.
Sure. I was going to just talk a little bit about my special interests relative to, working as a provider. So as you were just mentioning, I am in general practice, and that is really what I love. It is possible that I'll kind of specialize a little bit more in terms of my focus. We don't generally become specialists in naturopathic medicine in the way that one would as an MD or as a DO. But we do, you know, there are practitioners who kind of tend to focus on certain areas. And there, you know, oncology, there is extra certification that you can do to become a naturopathic specialist in oncology.
Oncology, which is cancer treatment.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Interesting.
It is. But I really, you know, I really love general practice. I love working with people with all kinds of conditions and symptoms and of all ages. Mm. And,
As in
babies all the way up to seniors and end of life. So I really enjoy that. Just going back to that passion about people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess with that in mind, I see people with a lot of different challenges. However, I guess I would say that I do see a lot of people working with digestive issues and hormonal issues, hormonal imbalances of various kinds, amongst many other things. But I do see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I should mention, in addition to kind of the more classic stuff of, how we diagnose and treat and utilizing prescription medications if needed, also, I should mention what we do primarily in terms of our treatment, because we don't focus on pharmaceutical interventions. We use those as necessary, but they're kind of, you know, more of a last resort, or unless somebody feels strongly about wanting to be on something, or I think it's really necessary immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of other things we can do first. And this will kind of get into those health maintenance. So we do a lot of work with lifestyle change, or lifestyle and behavior change, working with, like I said before, these foundations of health, exercise, sleep, diet. And so we do a lot of work around there. And then, you know, in terms of what we use as kind of quote unquote prescriptions or, of things for people to take,
mm-hmm.
We use a variety of different things, including botanical medicine, homeopathic medicine, nutraceuticals, which... to the public are probably known as supplements, and as well as some forms of physical medicine, so some kind of hands-on therapy that we do, as well as utilizing therapy, hydrotherapy, which is water therapy, which we use a lot for working with the immune system and improving circulation, amongst other things.
You mentioned a couple terms, excuse me, homeopathic.
Yes.
Products and botanicals.
Yes.
Can you give us a bit of definition of, let's take homeopathic products.
Sure.
What does that mean?
It's a really great question, and I will do my best to answer it simply. So homeopathy or homeopathic medicine is a bit of a different field of medicine. And so in medicine, both in the naturopathic world and kind of the conventional world as well, we're often treating with opposites. So somebody has a bacterial infection, we're treating with an antibiotic, so something to kill the bacteria. In homeopathic medicine, we're looking at, How do I put this? So different individuals will present with different symptoms. They may have the same bacteria that they're infected with, but they, you know, one person might have, you know, a really high fever and a cough, for example. Mm-hmm. And another person might have the same bacteria, but not have a fever. And they have, you know, more kind of sinus congestion. Mm-hmm. And they really feel more chilly, even though they don't mm-hmm. have a fever. Or, you know, there's different presentations.
Every individual is kind of different on how they their symptoms and signs and symptoms.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. We look to not only treat the whole person, but also the individual person. Mm-hmm. And so when we're doing this with homeopathy, we're trying to match the symptom picture. And so then we choose a remedy that's actually, it's this idea of law of similars, if people have heard of that before. We're treating like with like instead of with opposites. Mm. But we're treating with very, very dilute amounts of the substance that would mimic that same symptom picture that the person has when they're infected.
And what's the theory there?
Well, that's a good question. The theory is something we don't entirely... Well, the theory is that it's the law of similars is working on kind of a quantum physics level. So then people... we don't entirely understand it yet, actually, to be exact, or it to
makes,
be frank.
It makes me think of the similar kind of idea when... when allergists are treating people with an allergy with very small amounts of the allergen or,
yes.
the thing they're
yes.
allergic to, and slowly, 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 small amounts, and then build it up so the body can respond appropriately to not have that be a problem over time.
Very true.
The
that
body
is
defenses against it to work. Wow.
That's probably the best, most commonly understood example. Thank you for that.
So homeopathic products are small. They are small doses.
They're
of
small
stuff, aren't they?
Doses. Yes.
Okay. And botanicals are. What does that mean?
So botanicals are plant medicines.
Okay.
So I mean everything from chamomile to what's another? Well, that's probably one of
sure.
the more well-known examples. But I mean, even dandelion, those weeds in your yard, they have
medicinal
value, mm-hmm. quite a bit, actually.
Okay.
So there's and this is part of our kind of historical knowledge that we have learned from the herbalists and the midwives and these people that have been basically learning about plants since we first came into existence. I mean,
right.
we've been using plant medicine. That's the oldest, probably the oldest medicine, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. And so there's a great body of knowledge around that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of benefit that can be gained from that.
Right. Okay. Tell us a little more.
Sure. Well, did you?
And we're gonna probably wrap up within the next 2 minutes or so. But
yeah.
We'd love to hear more.
Well, I was thinking, since we don't have much time, we should probably delve into the health maintenance
sure.
Ideas. And a lot of these are probably things that a lot of you have heard before. Starting with a healthy diet. This is really huge. There's all these different ideas about what a healthy diet is. And there isn't one diet for everyone that
point.
Works well for everyone.
Very good point.
So this is kind of a general idea of what I aim for with people. Assuming that there's nothing else, you know, significant that would change this. But this is, like I said, general rule mm-hmm. of thumb. Minimizing sugars and processed foods. So eating a whole foods diet, this is not a diet with foods bought at Whole Foods. Thankfully, we don't, that's not a confusion here locally, but a lot of people think that's what I mean when I say that. But it means food that is as close to its natural form, you know, when it came out of the ground or when it was originally produced as possible. Michael Pollan is a great author who has a lot of information about this. He's got an interesting book. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, Food Rules. Hmm. It's kind of a nice, general, no-nonsense rule of thumbs to live by, I think, of in terms of what he is a proponent of, and I would agree, is a plant-based diet primarily. So a lot
food
of
rules.
Food
That's
rules.
The name of the-
yes. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice guideline if people want some simple info. So
you know, eating the rainbow is huge. Getting the rainbow of colors. So of your fruits and vegetables. So getting some of every color. All those different colors have different phytochemicals. So that's plant chemicals in them that have different health benefits to them. And we're learning more about those all the time. I know we're kind of running out of time here. So I'll leave with one other important thing that isn't talked about as much, and I mentioned it earlier, and that's mental and emotional health. I think this is huge for people. And, you know, this can mean something about along the lines of positive thinking, you know, using affirmations in life. They can be very powerful. Breathing exercises. These are really helpful for, you know, a lot of us don't breathe properly. You know, we take shallow, rapid breaths all day long. And deep breathing is profound in terms of the extent of its health benefits. There's all kinds of breathing exercises out there. And then the mindfulness and meditation that you mentioned earlier. That's also really important.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And you know what? I know very well that you didn't complete what didn't have time. So I'm going to ask you on the air and make you put you on the spot. Would you come back on this show again?
I would love to.
Okay, great.
Be my pleasure.
We absolutely did not finish. So thank you very much for this. Is we've been talking with Dr. Elizabeth Zamecki, Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine. And her phone number is, first of all, her office is called Chico Naturopathic Medicine. Phone number, same area code, 530-332-9355. That's 332-9355. Wow. Thank you very much, Dr. Zamecki.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'll be talking to you. We'll be hearing, listeners, you'll be hearing from her again. momentarily, listeners, hang on, because in a minute we're going to hear from Dr. Mark Lundberg from Butte County Health Department. Hang on.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of loving you.
Dr. Lundberg, are you there?
Dr. Logan, this is Dr. Lundberg. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Okay. I can't hear you on my
headset.
Can
you hear me?
You're on. Go for it, Dr. Lundberg.
Well, Dr. Logan,
to us.
I loved your interview with your naturopath. You know, she mentioned there at the end an author by the name of Poland. He did write a book called Food Rules. I remember one of the food rules that I really liked in that book is look at the ingredients of things you eat. And if you cannot pronounce one of the ingredients, try to avoid that food. I thought that was clever. You remember?
Good idea.
You remember when you were a medical student? There was a saying that said, "When you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras." Well, what that means is that common medical disorders are more often encountered than rare ones. For example, if a patient comes in with a runny nose, a physician should think about an upper respiratory infection called the common cold before considering the possibility of something really rare, like maybe, say, a leaking cerebral fluid from the brain.
Oh.
Unfortunately, many medical educators really spent a lot of time when I was in school, maybe for you too, Dr. Logan, focusing on those rare, rare things. And even patients, moms and dads do that when their kids get sick and they get a fever. Sometimes they go right to thinking, oh boy, could this be meningitis, where really they just have the flu or they have just a cold. Well, I'll tell you that this week I spent some time thinking about things which are very rare, and that's part of my job. I just wanted to tell you that there's a saying that I would like to change the saying a little bit. I'd like to say that little adage I told you, when you hear hoofbeats, think horses, but don't forget the zebras. And this week we were thinking about zebras at the health department. And those zebras have to do with bioterrorism. You know, bioterrorism is a dreadful thought that there will be people out there, governments or organizations, that are preparing infections to release those infections to cause harm. And so we got together with law enforcement, with fire officials, with EMS folks here in Butte County, and just wanted to brush up again on those kind of agents, such as anthrax, such as botulism, such as smallpox, such as the plague, and just brush up on those things so that we're prepared, even though they're very rare, and they were the true zebras, that we're ready. And it does make me realize that we should be thankful for peace, you know, and be reminded of how much we should try to avoid a war and those kind of circumstances would put us at risk for a bioterrorism agent.
You know, that's a good point. You know, we talk about these biologics, and but we got to all remember peace first, huh?
Oh, boy. You know, those agents are frightening, and
as is a nuclear bomb. But, yeah. Hey, the other thing I was thinking of when you were saying this, though, is that I'm glad that you and the health department are staying abreast of relative to information about those potential organisms that could be used in the future. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, Dr. Lundberg.
Yeah, we have to do that. You know, it's just one of those things that unfortunately is part of our work. Zebras are very rare, and we really don't hope we ever have to see those zebras, but they're possible.
Wow. Well, thank you, Dr. Lundberg. As usual, I really appreciate you coming on the show and giving us health update, and I'm hoping that we'll hear from you next month as well.
Always like to be on your show. You have a great show, and loved hearing it tonight. You had a great guest. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Lundberg.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to Ray Lager, the engineer for this show. And again, thanks to Dr. Elizabeth Zemecki, Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine. And listen again the third Thursday of the month at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. for the Doctor's Inn. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of you, the KZFR members, and by Affordable Automotive, locally owned by Mike Button and his family since 1996. Affordable Automotive grows their business one customer at a time and can repair or maintain any car, truck, or SUV, ensuring a safe and reliable vehicle, now with financing available. Located at 2106, that's 2106 Park Avenue in Chico. Also, they can be reached at 892-1774 or visit them online at chicoautomotive.com for more information. The opinions voiced on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Stay tuned for
Beetle Nation.
Stay tuned for Beetle Nation.
To be filled.
I don't need no doctor. I don't need no doctor.
I don't need no doctor, Lord, or prescription to be filled.
I don't need no doctor.
I don't
need no doctor.
All in my baby's arms could take away this.